Glad to have you. As we wrap up this morning's session, we'll take about 20 or 25 minutes to try to think together on this panel about senders and goers. I want to make this as practical as possible to think about what can we do now? What should life be like? What can we learn from these brothers and sister about being senders and goers? I think you've seen these folks before, breakouts or up front, but in case you've been in and out, let's just have each of you introduce yourself quickly.
My name is Rachel Ware. I serve as the Director of Mobilization for Reaching and Teaching. I live here in Louisville, Kentucky, and am a member at Third Avenue Baptist Church. It's great here to be here with you guys.
My name is Brooks Buser. I'm the president of Radius International, and I am a member of Claremont Emmanuel Baptist Church.
My name is David Rimstead. We currently serve in a tribe called Malayali, and I am currently a member of Redeemer Baptist Church.
All right, we're going to take the first number of minutes to think about goers, and then we'll transition to think about senders. Brooks, you were on the mission field for more than a decade. Looking back, one thing you wish you would have known that when you got there, you realized, I did not know this. Besides the language and everything.
Yeah, besides the language and all that. I wish I would have known the value of reading better than I did. I was more of a, I don't know, you and I share an affinity for college sports. I wasn't as deep into different aspects of reading. I wish I would have read missionary biographies, known the value of those. I wish I would have gotten into some of the other stuff that in my mid-30s, by the time I was starting into translation, I was already behind the eight ball in certain things. And so if I would have known the value of that, if I would have put more time, more energy into that prior to going to the field, I think it would have produced better results for me at the front end of ministry much more.
Do you have a book or two, these people that are thinking about, I want to be a goer, that you would say, yes, please read this book before you go?
Yeah, hands down, three books, and three of them are back there. Number one would be To the Golden Shore by Courtney Anderson, probably the best missionary biography out there. The second best is the autobiography of John Payton. Pretty
close.
So the
first one's about Adoniram Judson.
Adoniram Judson, yep. Autobiography of John Payton. I would also get in there, and Amy Carmichael's Beauty for Ashes. I think those autobiographies are huge. Two other ones that I would just add really quickly, Let the Nations Be Glad, What is the Mission of the Church? Those are mandatory reading for all incoming Radius students.
Great. Rachel, you've served a number of places overseas. Where, maybe you can't say countries, share what you can about where you've been and what you've done.
Sure. Yeah, I spent a summer in North Africa working among Muslim people groups, and then had several short-term trips to East Asia, and then spent a semester in northeastern India after I graduated from Southern Seminary.
And what matched your expectations and what was so different when you were there?
I think maybe matched expectations or exceeded them was just to see the lostness with my own eyes. I think as J.D. Greer mentioned the other night in his message, it's one thing to hear statistics. It's another thing to see a person who has never heard the name of Jesus. And my first encounter with one of those people was in East Asia. I was on a university campus talking with a girl, asked her if she had ever heard of Jesus, and she looked at me and said, "Who is that?" And my heart broke to realize she's a representative of such a massive population in the world that have no access to hear the name of Christ. So that matched my expectations. Something that surprised me during my time in India was the first surprise was that the region I was in was actually maybe considered in some respects reached. So as I was getting to know some of the people in the village that I was in, a lot of them claimed to be Christians. So my first surprise was I wasn't expecting this. I assumed that I was going to be surrounded by Hindus and Muslims. But then my second surprise was as I got to know them better and sought to understand their stories and hear their testimonies, I felt like there was a real lack of understanding the true gospel. And it opened my eyes to this just great need around the world among what we call the misreached, people who maybe have had some exposure to the gospel through missionaries, but still are in desperate need of understanding and being discipled in what the true gospel is.
Good. So I'll read my notes. Conrad, tell us about being a pastor in Zambia.
I would love to tell you about that.
So similar sort of theme, just thinking about goers. It's hard to just say one characteristic, but what is a characteristic, and maybe it's, you know, think of one that people might overlook, that you think is absolutely indispensable in a missionary. If you could wave your spirit wand and all of the goers have this characteristic, what would it be?
Yeah, interestingly enough, I think it's the same for a goer and a sender. I think it's their bookends. I think a goer and a sender, specifically a goer, they have to have a deep, deep, lasting satisfaction and joy in their obedience to the Lord, because that deep and satisfying joy in the Lord is the launching pad for both the goer and the sender to not only operate in enjoying everyday life, but serving the Lord in an unengaged world. And so when they operate with deep satisfaction and deep joy in their obedience to the Lord, I think it almost necessitates an eagerness and a zeal to see Jesus Christ return and sit on his throne. And so I think when we as a people, goers and senders, specifically goers, have that deep satisfaction and joy, then we are willing to be spent for the sake of the gospel to reach the places that have not yet heard and to see the Great Commission fulfilled, either going or sending, but zealous to see Jesus Christ return. And I think when we begin there as goers and senders, I think we're willing to do hard things to see the Great Commission fulfilled.
It's good. Sometimes we learn best by negative examples, and just saw that in 1 Corinthians 10. So there's biblical precedent for learn from this negative example. So I want to start with David and just go down each of you real briefly. Think about, because you've been senders and goers, you think about, okay, there's a missionary on the mission field. What's a characteristic, an attitude, a belief, something that you think, oh, this is exactly what we don't need in a missionary? Because you've heard a lot this week, you know, you if you're not doing it here, you know, what you do here is in some sense what you're going to do over there. I think Mac has said before, we don't believe in sanctification by aviation. You get in the tube of the plane, oh, you're a new person. It's not how it works. So what is a characteristic, a quality that you absolutely do not want to find when you meet a missionary on the field?
I hope I don't take your guys' teachability.
I was hoping
if they are not teachable, that makes things extremely difficult. And I'm going to tell you up front, in the beginning, in college, I was not a teachable person. My spiritual father, Brian Zuniga, who really just discipled me, he just impressed so heavily, be teachable. Every conference, every breakout session, every Bible study, he said, if you are not engaging with people that are more knowledgeable than you in an area, if you are not intentionally asking questions, if you're not taking the position of a learner, you will run your ship aground. You have to be teachable, especially when you go on the mission field. We do not go on the mission field as missionaries to these fields to dominate the culture, to dominate the people, and to dominate the language, to do whatever we want to. We come in a position of humility, saying we need to be taught in order to teach you clearly and correctly. If a missionary does not have the ability to be teachable, it's going to be a very difficult time for you and for the others around you.
I would say undisciplined people. They're used undisciplined to have a lifestyle that's undisciplined. There used to be this idea in missions, and it still pops out every once in a while from pastors and some of the leadership in the church. Okay, These are the kind of strange people. We would never make them greeters. We would definitely not make them elders. Let's send them to Indonesia. They should go to India. Like, those are people. They can't hold down jobs. They play a lot of Xbox in their parents' basement. Those kind of people, they should be our missionaries. Undisciplined people, if you can't hold down a job here, don't go to Indonesia. If you can't make friends here, if you're not a good greeter, if you're not a good church member here, don't become a missionary. Send your disciplined people. Send the ones who are, man, the best representatives of the church. And so if you meet those people on the field, you're going, why did their church do this? Why would they set up the people group that they're going to be working with this type of an individual?
Rachel, anything else to add?
I would say probably two parts. Someone who does not know convictionally and is able to defend what the local church is from Scripture. What is a local church? What is it not? And then the other part is someone who loves the local church. It doesn't just, you know, have all the Nine Marks books read, but actually in their life, they love the church. They serve the church. They want to lay their life down to serve the needs of the body. If someone does not love the church, they should not go overseas in order to plant a church.
Yes.
Those are great answers. The church, you're getting this all this week. I'm so thankful for that. The church is the origin and the goal of missions.
100%.
Comes out of the church. The goal is to have an established church. If you don't care about the church, you're not caring about missions, or at least not in the right way. And I think what these two brothers said, it's the same thing I'd say for pastoral interns or a college person you're discipling. You want to see, are they humble? Are they hardworking? If you don't have those, you're going to be very frustrating to work with. All of these brothers and sisters will tell you the number one reason people leave the mission field is what? It's some version of staff conflict, or at least that's one of the top reasons. So humble, hardworking. We have 10, 15 minutes left. We want to think about senders. Brooks or Rachel, just whoever wants to jump in on this. You've been overseas, now you're working with agencies that are training or sending, mobilizing in some way. Has anything of your perspective changed now that you've come back here that you think, we talk about what you learned as a goer. What are you learning as a sender, as a mobilizer, that you maybe didn't know before? Brooks?
I think getting to know churches and how they send missionaries, there's an aspect to sending that can seem like, okay, we're just going to send dollar bills. If we sign the checks at the end of the week, that's a qualification for the sender. That's the end goal of the sender. Sending is so much more than that. I was talking with a couple brothers in the back there when I gave the breakout yesterday on what is the Great Commission. Of the 5,500 here, I think a very liberal estimate is that there's probably 75 to 100 of you that will end up being goers. What that means is there's probably about 5,400 that are going to end up being senders. And some of you 5,400, I pray, are going to end up on your missions committees. You're going to end up being senior pastors. You're going to end up being leaders in your church. So that in 10 years, that number won't be 75 to 100 coming out of the Cross Conference or some other cross-related type event or event that sends out 18 to 25-year-olds. Hopefully those numbers go up because you're better senders. You're beyond just checks. And so the worry coming back here was, is it just the financial side that people see?
Right.
And I think if they can get a fully orbed, this is what a sender is. A sender's much more than money. And sometimes it's not even money. But if the church takes on the sending role, then we see more goers ending up going.
So let me piggyback on that and shape the question a little more practically, Rachel. You got all these people, and say 5,000 of them are senders. They're here, they're working, that's what they're going to do. What do you want their life to look like? What are some things they should be cultivating now to be the sort of senders that will bear fruit over a lifetime?
Yeah, I kind of think of senders in two ways. One would be, I'm sure you guys have heard, the rope holders. It's a phrase that came from William Carey asking to have the ropes held for him as he went overseas. We want senders that are willing to hold the ropes through prayer, through fervent prayer. we are not able to do this on our own. We need the Holy Spirit's help. And so as we link arms with missionaries that are all over the world, we're able to partner with them in that work. We want to be senders that are generous in ways that even hurt. So right now, I know it might not feel like you have much to give. That's exactly the time to start developing the muscles of sacrificial giving, because it will never get easy. So we want to be senders that are generous with what we have, generous to support the work that people are doing around the world. And then another angle of sending is participating in the Great Commission exactly where you're at, looking for internationals in your city that you can build relationships with and share the gospel with. Invite them to your local church. Let them see the corporate witness of the body of Christ as it worships together and as it sits under the word together. Be an active member of a local church and evangelizing and discipling. And in that way, you are going to be a sender that's participating with those that you've sent.
Yeah, and that's so good. And understand that you follow Christ in every season of life, but there are also seasons of life where you follow Christ in different ways. And for the vast majority of you, that will likely be senders, will be maybe in this country, and the many of you women that will be mothers, and some of you will be like my wife, and your main work for decades, maybe attending to those children. I just want you to hear from me, and I think from all of us, that whenever you, if the Lord allows you to be in that stage of life, you are still playing a part in the Great Commission, and you are teaching the next generation the wonderful works of God, and you can be a vibrant prayer warrior and a vibrant part of your local church. Just a burden of mine, I'm sure, because I have a wonderful wife and I have all these kids. I used to say I am a father of 5 wonderful children, and then I have 4 others. But all of these children that I want the moms and the future moms to know that is not just a detour of your Christ-centered life on hold for something that then really matters. That really matters, and there are ways to completely be sold out for Jesus in that. You can follow the story of Moses in Exodus and this great redemptive arc, this plan of redemption. And how does it move forward in the first chapter of Exodus? It entirely moves forward by women caring for children. Shifra and Pua, the midwives, Pharaoh's daughter, Moses' mother, Moses' sister, all in that opening chapter are women who are moved to care for children, and it moves forward God's great redemptive plan. So all of you will have work to do, God-honoring work. I want to ask David a question to think about. How do we keep from happening what happens often in churches? Namely, you have a missions committee where you have the 15 really mission excited people who are really will show up at the potluck and will host the missionary, and
that happens too.
It happens too.
You get hosed,
but then it's just the thing that those crazy people do. How can we keep missions? Yeah, it's going to be a particular passion for some. How can we help keep it on the front burner for the church at large?
Yeah, that's a phenomenal question. Even in the Q&A yesterday, or in the Meet a Missionary, we were asking those individuals, how are your churches handling these issues with their goers? How are you keeping this momentum? And I think momentum is the issue. These churches experience this boom. Like, you'll go back to your church, if there's a group of you from that specific church, you will be so encouraged from this conference, you'll go back and you'll lose momentum. I think number one, it happens from the leaders leading from the front. I think those mission communities, they need to lead from the front. I'll be the first one to say it. We have Netflix, we have Disney Plus. I have been so convicted that we already give to the GoFund, but they asked to give $14 more. I'm gonna cancel Netflix, and I'm gonna give that $14 to the GoFund. That's what has to happen in our churches, that those leaders are leading from the front. If you don't have leadership that's leading from the front, then you are going to have to go in and humbly, as a learner, begin to help shape your culture that not only welcomes missionaries back, but keeps the momentum for missionaries to continue to go. And I believe that that happens through a wartime mentality, that we do our duty by doing without. And when pastors, when committees are living lives that are sacrificial because they care about the gospel, they care about the gospel going to the unreached, and they want to see Jesus Christ return. They are zealous for that. I believe that is so infectious that when the congregation or when the people look at this momentum, and not just the momentum, but the example of the leaders or the people that are wanting to see the Great Commission fulfilled by their efforts, I think people run with that momentum as well. And I think when that happens from leadership, your church will follow. But if you are not zealous and deeply satisfied by God Himself and zealous for His return, then your church will ultimately slow down the fulfillment of the gospel. And so I believe when that happens, a church continues the momentum by living a wartime lifestyle, doing without in order to do their duty of seeing the Great Commission fulfilled.
One question for Brooks before I ask a final question of some resource recommendations. Brooks, how should we think about short-term missions? Many people here will have gone or will go on short-term missions. There's a lot of views. Waste of time, waste of money, great precursor to full-time missions. Give us just a few quick drop-down bullet points. How should these people think about the prospect of short-term mission trips?
Yeah, I mean, let's start with the cautions with it so we can end with the positive. The cautions are, number one, is that if you believe the Great Commission will be accomplished by short-term missions, you are in error. That's not true. That's not going to be done. And when I say short-term missions, I mean anything shorter than 5 years. Short-term missions, you got to make it over there with a purpose. And so that's a big error, that somehow we're going to see the Great Commission accomplished by short-term missions. And then number two is that short-term missions is primarily for the people that are on the trip. And that's the primary goal. So that's the downsides of it. The upsides, though, are that most of your zealous senders, those 15 that are on the missions committee, they went on a short-term trip. And they had an experience. And the goers, the 100, 200, 500, maybe by God's grace from this crowd, some of them went on a short-term trip. Most of them did. And they caught that fire from that. We were the beneficiaries. The other great thing about short-term missions is that they help those who are the long-term goers. We had two short-term teams come out to Yembe, help build our house, help build the airstrip where our supplies came back. They were a tremendous blessing to us. They didn't witness to anybody, praise God, but they were able to help the long-term missions effort there. And the Yembe's, part of the reason the gospel came was because of a short-term trip. So just that whole thing, this isn't for you, and the Great Commission will not be accomplished by short-term missions.
Yeah, that's really good. And for church leaders who make these decisions, to think about just what you said, to come alongside and help ask the people there, do you want us? Sometimes missionaries say, all I'm doing is housing short-term mission trips,
right,
and it's really exhausting, versus would you come, you could really do something worthwhile. And what you said, sort of tongue-in-cheek, but seriously, you know, you're not going to do pioneering mime evangelism on the streets and look at you. You're going to come alongside and help somebody else and then come back and hopefully be changed. So last question, real quickly, give 30 seconds. Good books, websites, articles, sermons, real quick, that would help, you talked about goers and missionary biographies, but would help the vast majority of people who will end up being senders. What should they be reading, doing, listening to? Rachel.
So you didn't say this category, but I actually would say talk to real missionaries.
Great.
and ask them questions about their ministry. Really ask them, how is evangelism? What's the most discouraging thing? What's the most encouraging thing in your life right now? Get to know missionaries so that you can really pray specifically and care well for them. I'd also recommend Reaching and Teaching has a blog, and we have a series of posts specifically on sending. So you can look that up. We have a series on sending churches, how to be generous as a sending church, how to travel and visit your missionaries often. I definitely would recommend that. And then Brooks mentioned Missions, How the Local Church Goes Global by Andy Johnson. That's a must read, and it takes about an hour, so you could even do it this afternoon if you want.
That's great.
25 Servants of Sovereign Joy. I believe they got more copies back there through the night. Praise God. I made sure they would have some before I said this. That is a wonderful, wonderful book. Some of you are going to look at the size of it, and you're going to be scared out of your mind. Don't be intimidated. Take it piece by piece.
Who wrote this book?
This book is written by Mr. John Piper. It's about these 21 Servants of Sovereign Joy. Book number 5, William Tyndale, Adoniram Judson, John Payton. Probably some of the most impactful stuff in there. And it's short, it's concise. The salient points of these guys' lives are put down in there. The other one, again, that I would push on there is To the Golden Shore. It's so riveting reading. I hope every book is gone by the end of this conference.
So Piper's book of those biographies of theologians, pastors, missionaries, yeah, Churchly, really, really excellent.
Yep.
Two things. One, one of the bedrock promise chapters for me in going overseas. You can find it on the internet. It's Look at the Book, Romans chapter 8. Some of the biggest promises that I've held on to these last 10 years of doing missions overseas. And then the travelingteam.org, the traveling team, their website has so much content, so many things both for goer, sender, church leaders, articles, podcasts, statistics, some of the best statistics and concise information that I've seen thus far, travelingteam.org.
One other thing I would be remiss if I didn't say, there's a booklet that's been developed, How Do You Get from Cross to the Mission Field or to Being a Quality Sender? 10 articles written on singleness, student debt, how do I serve as a sender, what's the role of a local church, small little booklet, it's completely free, just right off the side. You don't have to stop in the Radius booth, just run right by it, grab one, and keep on going, but those 10 articles for free, right in the back. So 10 quick ones by some people that you know.
Okay, quick, because you're a missionary.
GoFund, they have information in the back ready to be taken, information for both goer and sender, rope holder. They'll lead you in the right direction.
Wonderful. So grateful for these brothers and wonderful sister for sharing with us just a few. Yes, thank them.